You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman, along with my son, fellow investigator Joe Hagman. Together we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. A little bit discombobulated. If you look, can you tell, folks? Can you tell that we've got a little bit of a different setup here with the cameras? Well, that's in advance of tomorrow, actually Monday. Tomorrow, Eric the Tech is going to be in making some radical changes to the studio, to the, well, you're going to see some changes, and it's all for the good. So, anyway, folks, I just want to welcome all the listeners to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report, coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Again, we're live every weeknight. That's from Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Folks, that's the place to be. And you're going to find out tonight, too. Dave Hodges, who's got a program on Global Star, is going to be joining us during the second and third hours. The first hour is dedicated to news, information, and analysis. We're also simulcast right here on the Blog Talk Network, BTR. And you can watch us live, in color, in person, soon to be better. On our YouTube channel.
Yeah, and also, you know, our podcasts are available on PodKicker, which is an app for Android phones, and iTunes, which is...
That's the first time I heard about that today. No, I never heard about that.
Yeah, and you can also go to SoundCloud. All the links are on the right-hand side of our Hagman & Hagman page. SoundCloud is a great app you can put on your phone and use on your computer that allows you to play our archive broadcast with start and stop, rewind and fast forward functions that other platforms don't have. I've gotten a lot of people that ask me, you know, how can I listen to the show, you know, without stopping it? Because when I stop it, it restarts and I don't know exactly the time I left off. SoundCloud takes care of, and iTunes too is a good job of that. You can start the show at a certain time or pick up where you left off. You don't have to re-listen or fast forward through. So
yeah, that's a good. But PodKicker, you say?
Well, that's just a podcast app for the Android-based phones.
That sounds pretty interesting. In case you hear any noise, now it'd be because we are having some things done to the studio, and we are using in-house help. We have some family here, family in the studio, in my offices, and in our offices, actually. So if you hear some children, and if you hear some...
screaming, barking.
Barking. My wife brought our grandchildren, and she brought Eric, the tech, some Doggy treats, yeah, yeah. But no, so there's a lot going on in the background, which actually, just so you know, if again, if we look a little bit discombobulated, or if I do in particular, that's why.
Also, right before showtime, you had almost a mental meltdown as you were
brand. Don't tell people that.
As I'm not going to tell people specifics, but my dad likes a certain brand of coffee, or is it even a brand? It's a flavor, I guess.
Oh, I like it. Look, I don't drink coffee. I mean, I'm with Ted Brewer a lot. You know, I'm really, I understand Ted Brewer and Purple Sticks. That's the way to go. But on the occasion, I like Italian coffee. And then
right before the show, usually. I mean, once a week,
that's strong.
Twice a week. Yeah. And I heard Code Blue. I thought something was going on, and here there's no Italian coffee.
No, you know, we have a little kitchenette too. In the
Joe, you
studios.
Might have to start the show. I got to go to the store and get some coffee.
Well, the problem is the stores don't carry them. And you think I'm spoiled? I am. I mean, you know.
No, it was funny though.
Well, that's and then Joe said, "Boy,
finally
we
did find some."
Yeah.
Averting disaster.
That's right. Almost. It could have been a meltdown. I'm just excited about tonight and about the good things coming forward, going forward. Eric the Tech is just an extremely talented man when it comes to creation of the studio and set up of the studio. So I'm excited to see what this is all going to be.
We should record his labors tomorrow while heckling him and put it on YouTube.
No, actually, you're going to help tomorrow.
No.
I hope.
No, because we're there's a lot more changes. The temporary camera views you see today are just temporary. We are changing camera systems, and Eric's going to be hardening the lighting in here and rearranging some things.
Or softening, or whatever that
might
be.
We're adding space to the visual venue we have here.
Yes.
And
we want to be more like the big boys.
Yeah, so it's going to... At some point in the near future, it's going to look like it's expanded, and it has. We've had some. We have a pretty interesting addition to the studio. They're not this like the screens behind us can show images and logos and whatnot, but this extension is pretty neat too. I'm looking forward to seeing how this looks.
And what we want to do, and this is not for just aesthetics, but we want to do is make it more useful. You know,
I laugh because like we would sit here and do something just for the sake of doing it.
No,
it
my
needs
goodness.
To be done.
Well, yeah, and we do this in baby steps because it's number one, it's time consuming, expensive, and it's not something you can just. People think, well, I'll just throw up a webcam and you know broadcast. No. No, when you're dealing with multiple platforms, you've got to in multiple venues and.
There's
camera
so much.
Views and
people have no idea.
Fly-ins and layovers and whatever you. Yeah, man, it's and when you do it when you're not when you don't have a budget of you know $100,000 and you're just trying to fit things retrofit things in, so that's kind of what we're doing. But hopefully it's for a cause, it's for a reason. That way we can bring to you as our initial vision was, ultimately bring you. What we see, for example, if we're looking at a document, you can see the document. If we're looking at a website, you can see the website. And if we're looking at a guest, ultimately, we'd love to bring on people where we can see face-to-face, kind of like Caravan to Midnight, Alex Jones, and others in the alternative media. So,
we're having a super-secret supercomputer specifically built just to be able to provide video. And that just... I'm surprised. I've been surprised by that. The fact that you have to build a special computer to have that capability. I'm sure there's different ways you can do it without the computer, but this is the best and safest and most effective.
Well, we did try to duct tape my daughter to a chair with a video camera, but and you know roll her around on the carpet. But she, for whatever reason, she didn't like that. So. You know, hence we have to go to the computer end of things. And it's nice to know all the entire family. So actually you can hear the audio through the program through the office. And, so which disturbs the dog and kind of disturbs the grandchildren. So, and then we have a delivery coming for for the progress tomorrow. So, and by the way, we are not going to be on video tomorrow. So YouTube will be up, but we're not going to be on video tomorrow. It's going to be Ted Brewer is going to be our guest tomorrow. So in the event that you
think we're off. I can wear my pajamas?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to see that. Last time I saw that, I think you were 11, and that was a number of years ago, and I don't want to see that anymore.
Okay.
You know, before we get started, how much does a good night's sleep mean to you folks? And I'm so excited, and I'm so pleased to be able to talk about mattresses, specifically Casper mattresses. They're a sponsor of ours. Folks, you can live the dream during the day. I mean, there's nothing like getting a wonderful night's sleep. Absolutely nothing.
You know, we'll bring one down here during a show, and I'll just take a nap for the show.
Sure.
While you're,
there you
while
go.
You're talking, and I'll show you guys the effectiveness of...
I should actually take a video. I should go to... at some point, go back to my house and get a video of my dog who just loves the Casper mattress. I'd have to take the sheet off, of course, but to see, so you can see the label that says Casper on the side. But she really goes into a deep sleep with Casper mattresses. Now, Casper mattresses, it's an obsessively engineered mattress, and they combine two quality or two unique two different kinds of material or two different kinds of, a mattress provides both the resilience and long supportive comfort. It's a hybrid mattress. It combines premium latex foam. That's what I'm trying to, premium latex foam with memory foam. Now that combination gives you just this wonderful, sink, just the right support. And boy, you get go right into a deep sleep. Now, mattresses can often cost well over $1,500, but Casper mattresses cost between $500 for a twin size and $950 for a king size. And what's even better is you can try it out for a free 100-day period. You can try it out for a 100-day period because, you know, you get thrown into a showroom and do you ever feel, really uncomfortable lying in a bed in a showroom to try it out? Nah. Casper cuts the middleman out and gives you that chance. Folks, go to casper.com/CFP radio. Stands for Canada Free Press CFP radio. That's casper.com/CFP radio. casper.com/CFP radio. And there's a special there for Hagman and Hagman listeners. They made this up especially for you. Use code CFP radio at the checkout to get $50 toward your mattress. So that's use code CFP radio at checkout to get $50 toward your mattress purchase. You can live the dream. You can have a perfect mattress. I'm a big supporter of the mattresses, of these mattresses. I've got mega back problems. I mean, I've got an inch thick worth of MRIs and x-rays and such. And, this is the only mattress I found, seriously, that really does the trick. And if, when I go in Dallas, as great as the hotel rooms were and the nice as the beds were, oh, I couldn't wait to get back home to sleep on a Casper mattress. Folks, go to CasperMattress.com or go to Casper.com/CFP radio. That's Casper.com/CFP radio and enter the promo code CFP radio at the checkout to get your $50 toward your mattress. And we do only promote and talk about what we believe in, and this is certainly something we truly believe in. It's a great company. It's a great product. Casper.com/CFP radio. So tonight, Joe, now you were here earlier, and here's the thing, guys and ladies. Here's the thing. There's so much going on. What do you focus on? What's important to you, the listener? And we have our Wednesday open lines, Joe, that people can call in and give their insight as to what's on their mind, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they ask questions or go off on other areas. But you know, when you look at the headlines, I wonder what's important to people. I spoke to both Dave Hodges off air today, and I spoke to Greg Jackson. There's a lot going on that people aren't really paying attention to.
There's a lot of information. We talked about this briefly yesterday. You know, the fluoride has now been finally labeled as a neurotoxin, something that is and has been known and exposed for a long time now. It's put in all municipalities, in the water of all municipalities, and it has been linked to autism and Alzheimer's and other disorders, human disorders. And it has been, you know, it was invented, the putting the fluoride in the water was invented by the Nazis during their horrific experiment.
Are we sure that's when it really, I mean, was it? Okay, all right. I just want to make sure of that.
And I can get the confirmation info for you. But the fluoridation of water, when you look at the back of a toothpaste bottle, it says if you consume pea-sized, you know, amount, call poison control. And, you know, many dentists have
That's why eating the entire tube of toothpaste is discouraged, right?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, the claim has been throughout history that it's good for your teeth. It helps with your enamel and whatnot and saves people from getting cavities. Well, obviously, that was just a lie and an excuse justification to bring it in. But for the government to now come out and say this is actually, you know, it is a neurotoxin. It's interesting because we see issues like these where you would have a year ago, we'll say, people come on the news and say fluoride is linked to all these different medical ailments and it is a poison, and they would be called kooks, fringe conspiracy theorists.
Oh, my old dentist, my former dentist, a guy I went to school with, we used to get into some pretty heavy-duty arguments. Now, you're at a disadvantage when you've got pieces of metal and cotton and all kinds of stuff in your mouth, and he used to do this to me all the time. He'd sit me back in the chair upside down almost and put all sorts of stuff, like, you know, wad extra cotton in my mouth so I couldn't talk. I mean, seriously, I went to school with him and him and I would just he was a big Obama supporter. I mean, just a big Obama. And of course, I didn't, you know, let out the, at the time, this is number, I haven't seen him in probably 6 years. Okay. Because I had to change dentists because I could not take his politics. It's hard to argue when you're upside down and you got cotton and metal in your mouth and he says something, you know, antagonistic to you. Don't like that. But anyway,
them coming out and saying that it is a neurotoxin, and I haven't seen anything about them removing it from, you know, the water source, and rectifying the situation. But stories like this, seem to be coming out more frequently, like the 9/11. Yes. 28 pages, yep. That is this disclosure, I guess you could call
it. We know it's implicating the Saudis. We know that 28 pages. And that 28 pages in the scheme of things is really meaningless when it comes to what really happened, but it's a step closer because that does show the relationships between the Saudis and the post 9/11 flyouts. But
yeah, and
that's it.
These stories, I believe, are being used for, distraction purposes, and also, I mean, hopefully people who, you know, denied the claims of fluoride or were unaware of them learn and understand the
dangers.
I used
to give you fluoride tablets when you were young.
The dentist
said you got to give your son fluoride tablets. Now, that lasted about a week and a half. Okay, seriously, and I'm not joking around. That was about a week and a half.
Why?
Well, because even at that time, a couple that was, and I remember this very vividly. We had this came in a plastic bottle, and they were tiny tablets, and you were a toddler.
Okay.
But I remember getting the bottle from the pharmacy and putting it on our dining room table, and we had some company come over, and both the husband and wife were into holistic medicine, or not holistic medicine, but, you know, into health, and they were awake about the dangers of things, and they saw that, and they said, "What are you doing?" And this is, again, this is probably after, oh, I don't know, it couldn't have been more than several days, and they said, "You're poisoning your child," and I'll never forget that. And I'm thinking,
thank
wow.
you guys.
You know, so we doubled your dose, and which explains a lot. No, I'm kidding. But no, after that, we after the wife, in fact, she later passed away. Well, she later was killed, unfortunately, and that was the banker's wife who was kidnapped and murdered. But she said, no, it was horrible, and that was back in the.
Well, that's interesting.
1984, I think.
That is interesting.
Yeah, but boy, now I understand.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what comes next as far as, you know, then that'll be something tomorrow we can talk with Ted about is what to expect. If this is a new classification, if that warrants the removal from all public, you know.
But don't they have... And I'm serious. Don't they have something, either a coating, a medicine, a mouthwash kind of thing, that actually would completely prevent tooth decay?
I don't know.
Okay, I've heard this. And I have not been able to find any. Now you can find anecdotal claims with anecdotal evidence or not substantive. You know, this kind of weird. I cannot find anything that I could rely on in terms of source. I couldn't source it, but I've heard that they have like a mouthwash that the one time per year application or somewhere in that vicinity that would prevent any tooth decay. Now, I do believe that they have got treatments and actual cures for cancer. And other diseases, but you know, it's contrary to Big Pharma, so they don't let us have it. Which brings me to one other thing, and if I could just vent for a little bit. Can I vent for a second and ask this question about, because I wonder how many people are out there like this. And this hits close to home. Before I vent here, before I get into it, I also want to mention that Portions of the Nice Broadcast brought to you by Whole Tones, WholeTonesLive.com. You've heard them, right? WholeTonesLive.com, you've heard them. Go to WholeTonesLive.com and download your free sample while you're at it. Take a look at the testimonials there at WholeTonesLive.com. But try it out. WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. W-H-O-L-E TonesLive.com. Really accessing the music of King David, the frequencies of King David. But okay, now getting back to this, here's my question. You were talking about fluoride, and you're talking about the Big Pharma. We're talking about the Big Pharma.
Yeah, and these disclosures.
Right.
9/11 pages, Panama Papers.
Right. Now here's something that to me it hits close to home, and I want to ask everyone what you think of this. We've got a good friend with rheumatoid arthritis. My wife suffers from osteoarthritis. Now Ted Brower, thank goodness for his products because they have made a big difference in my wife's life. But here is the question I've got. You've got in a waiting room in a doctor's office yesterday. There are women, and especially the older women, and men that had suffered injuries from the war, but nonetheless have either arthritic pain or joint pain. But you could see a waiting room filled with people who are in excruciating pain. Now, hold that thought. I mean, when I looked over the landscape of this waiting room, I mean, we're talking about crease line making pain, unbelievable pain, devastating life stopping pain. On the wall, By the desk where people check in. Big letters. We do not give out narcotics. And then without there were conditions. In other words, no new patients get narcotics. And I mean, it was like looking at some sort of Orwellian terms of service for a doctor's office. Now, here's my problem with this. Not that I'm advocating, you know, prescribing narcotics, but what I'm saying is, when I look at what's going on, and I'm seeing this increasingly, because as you get older, you get problems. You have to go into a doctor's office, and my wife got these well.
And there was just a story of a local doctor whose license was suspended and put under review because they were looking at the ways that the prescriptions were coming out of his office. He had surgery, and his partner prescribed him some pain medicine.
Right.
And basically, they shut his whole practice down for months because they were looking at how, you know, his prescription patterns.
Well,
you know, later to find that there was nothing.
You know, what bothers me is, I was talking with our friend who's got rheumatoid arthritis, and she's in a wheelchair, and she's just, I mean, the wheelchair is probably twice as big as she is, and I knew her when she was upright walking and not afflicted with this. And folks, this, I think, has something to do with what's going on, and I think this is part of the bigger picture, but she has to, and she's in constant pain. I look at her and I think, I cannot even imagine the pain that she's in from, I mean, her spine collapsed and, the disfigurement is just hideous. Now, that's not to say she's not a beautiful, beautiful lady, but the disfigurement's hideous. Okay. So, and I talked to her, but I also talked to somebody in a casual sense. It was a gentleman in the waiting room. Who's got just a tremendous injury, just almost blown to bits. It's kind of one of those people that you see on that are used for wounded warriors, that kind of injury. And conversationally between the two, here's what I learned. I learned that the doctors are refusing to prescribe pain medication of any kind, and I don't know whether. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's. I mean, I know they're opiate-based, if it's morphine or what's that, oxycodone or cotton?
Yeah.
I don't even know if there's a difference or...
Oxycodone.
I mean, what's that, Percodan, Percocet?
Percocet.
Is that the same thing or roughly?
Percocet is, from what I understand, the same classification as hydrocodone.
Okay. Well, hydrocodone too, because they bumped that from a schedule 3 to a schedule 2 drug.
But I'll just say that last time I got a tooth pulled a few years ago, the dentist gave me the prescription for a few Percocets. And I've taken Vicodin before for teeth extraction and broken bones and whatnot. But if they're the same classifications, I mean, those things you talk about making you feel messed up.
What, a Percocet?
Yeah, just one. I mean, one. It was.
I think I had surgery, and I think they might have given that to me. I don't remember. Okay, but here's where I'm coming from. Here's why I mentioned this. Any closer, we should date, go out to dinner. Eric the tech, you can't see. He came over here, and he's. Thank you. Anyway, here's where I'm going with this. And folks, I know we are an aging population. If you're like me, we're aging, and we do have issues. But when my wife was in yesterday for her arthritis, the doctor said, you take like just an inordinate amount of Tylenol and mix it with Advil. And I was thinking, and I was not in the appointment, but I was thinking after the fact, isn't that pretty toxic? I mean, she does follow the regimen of Ted Brower, and Ted's helping her a lot and seen a massive improvement. But my question is this more part of a let's get rid of the older and infirm? Because the gentleman I was speaking to, circling back to that, who was blown up by an IED, and this was 10 years ago now, he was complaining that he has to come in every 30 days in order for his medicine to be reviewed, and then they only give him so much, and then they make him pee in a cup and do all sorts of weird things. And I'm thinking, you know, it gets to the point where you just don't want to deal with that anymore. And the suicide rate among veterans is a lot higher. So are we seeing an agenda to kill off the impaired, the infirmed? the impaired and the infirmed. Is that what we're seeing?
Did you say kill off?
Yeah, to kill off. Or don't, when I say kill them off, no, I'm okay.
Don't call it for what it is. It's
the suicide rate.
It's
among
mercy
people.
Killing. It's you know, the death panels. It is the humane thing to do.
And you don't know this, but I had a cousin who had cancer. And I didn't know this either. I mean, I'm not close to my extended family or my family. I'm closer to my listeners than I am to my to the remnants or whatever's left of my family. And I did not know this, but my cousin actually committed suicide by an overdose because of the pain being caused. He was in so much pain with cancer. I did not know him at the time, and I didn't. I mean,
that's terrible.
Okay, I went to his funeral. I went to his wake, and no one would tell me. No one would say anything about what was going on. And then I spoke with his mother, my aunt, who since passed, and found that out. But I guess are the people in power? Are they pushing the people like you and I, or the older or the infirmed? Are they pushing us to commit suicide? Because I can't think of any legitimate reason. The war on drugs to me is just nothing but a laughable, not even laughable. It's just, the war on drugs is just a bunch of BS.
It is. You know, you look at the war on drugs and the push to, you know, get the legislation behind the war. And when you have a substance like crack, and the crack can be made into cocaine by some kind of chemical change, not adding any other drugs, you can get, you know, 30 times the amount of time for having the same amount of one, you know, the crack as you, the jail time as you can for cocaine. I mean, it's just absurd. Nonviolent offenses.
CIA, didn't your research prove, yes, and others research, yes, prove the CIA
they created,
brought in, brought
they,
this in?
Yes. They actually not only brought in the cocaine, they also showed people who they distributed it to how to turn it into from cocaine to crack rock, which started lots of gang violence and drug wars among gangs in major cities, especially in Los Angeles, and gave rise to the cartels. And you know, we look back and see the culture in the U.S. in the 70s and 80s, the go-go culture, the cocaine consuming, right, Pablo, yep, Escobar culture.
Yep.
There's an interesting series on Netflix. It's called Narcos. And it's basically a documentary / production, a TV production, showing the life of Escobar and the different events that happened from a DEA agent's perspective. And it shows the, you know, he was killing off politicians and you know, all kinds of important people in the political and influential sphere in Colombia. Well, in one of the scenes it says, you know, the problem seems with the Americans is that 60 tons of cocaine was consumed in your country last year, you know, and they were making reference that it was during an argument about extradition. And that just kind of shocked me, so I did a little bit of research. And yes, if it wasn't for the drug use of the Americans, a lot of the wars and violence and cartels that we see would never be.
Well,
Same thing with Afghanistan and the heroin.
And we're guarding the poppy fields. And Susan Price, who was on our program, had told me about her son who was killed in Afghanistan, about, yeah, his guarding the opium fields, or his work with, there was a lot of shady dealings going on.
Famous football player, him. Pat Tillman,
yep,
was writing home about the same situation. You know, are we in Afghanistan protecting drugs? And he was killed by quote unquote friendly fire.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have to look at this as, obviously, as a big business by the federal government, but it astounds me to see those people who have made the laws, that make the elderly, the infirmed, and the people that have legitimate problems to make them suffer. Those people who may have made those laws and to think that they are more knowledgeable than anyone else. You go and have a tooth pulled without Novocaine, or your teeth pulled without Novocaine. If that's, you know, or when you're dying and in the hospice, make sure that you're just, here's a couple of Bayer aspirin. Okay. Because that's the way the laws are. And I feel so sad. I mean, I don't want to be on a soapbox, but I just see this as part of a larger problem that'll have people, because there's a lot of pain out there, a lot of physical pain with the aging population.
You know, there is also a lot of abuse and overdoses, which we see today, but it is more from people getting, hooked from the pain medication side than, you know, taking it to the extreme and going to heroin. That's where the
yeah, and isn't in. Wasn't there something with a cutback of the availability to legitimate, yes, people of whatever
it has arrived? It has risen, so the deaths and use of heroin.
So you've got ordinary law-abiding citizens moving toward illegal illicit drugs. Is that the plan?
Because
then?
The what you talked about is we're seeing the effects of the cutbacks of medicine, you know. Sometimes people don't need the medicines they think they do, but a lot of times people have chronic pain. But how do you deal with that? Well, I mean, you can't.
My neighbor, it was in chronic pain from an acute. There was an acute back injury that he had, and it blew out. I mean, just blew out a disc. Okay, so they went in and did surgery, which was either surgery or paralysis, and so he had surgery done. And then the doctor, and he was fine, okay, but then the doctor says, well, you got another disc that's up there. We should probably do a fusion. And he said, okay, because, you know, rather than have you take medication to maintain your level of mobility, let's go ahead and have the fusion done. That was the week before Christmas. He can't walk today. I mean, he can barely walk today. I don't want to overstate it, but he can barely walk today. And there seems to be a push for surgery too. But anyway, I guess this is a bigger part of the drug, well, narcotics America. What's that? The drug Inc. Or
yeah.
Or what do they call that?
It is an epidemic. The substance abuse in this country, and it's sad that people who have to have legitimate diseases and legitimate needs for certain medicines have to suffer because of the
I just think that this is going to become more.
Oh, it is. I read and keep up on my U.S. government health information.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, it's gonna be bad, and we're gonna, and this is not kind of in the same area, but tobacco use you're going to see some things that are going to change with tobacco.
So those people who do smoke, and I'm not going to make any judgments at all because
I smoke cigarettes.
So let me ask this question: are they going to make that? Are they going to regulate that into a drug? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I don't know if they're going to regulate it into a drug. They're going to regulate it, and with the new interactive, personalized, person-centric healthcare, they are going to apply behavior modification tools, because obviously if you're paying for health care, the government is the provider of the health care. Right. They're not going to allow you to do something to yourself that will create an increase in their cost, whether that's not exercising or eating
which
badly,
brings me,
or
that's right,
smoking.
And this brought us right around to this hour's topic, because this is the centralization. This is the control over human behavior, social engineering. And this is what Joe's been working on in terms of the RFID chip and the medical tracking, because now here's what we're seeing with the takeover. And this is a necessary takeover of the healthcare system, which is why you saw this bipartisan support. I mean,
you said necessary takeover?
Necessary takeover. It was required. You saw bipartisan support for the healthcare.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And Nancy Pelosi and the gavel walk and all of this. So here is what is going to have to happen, or what is planned. Now, the end game objective is this, and then how they get there is going to be a little bit subject to change. But here's what's going to happen. In order for you to get your any kind of medication, whether it be to manage chronic pain or to manage diabetic issues, your insulin, or how about any kind of drug, including and especially those that affect the chemistry of the brain, such as lithium or bipolar products, where you've got a person whose blood chemistry is out that requires lithium. So all of this, you're not going to be able to get any attention, any care, any pharmacy products, any pharmaceuticals without being tracked.
Right.
And this
you're not
is,
even going to want to go near the stores if you're not part of the system, because there's coming a time. You know, their goal is the personal health information through electronic records, and they want to build and strengthen global health security, which in their own words is preparedness and response and recovery planning that includes the health and could pose a risk to security or destabilizing social changes. The objective is to improve global health by supporting and implementing international health regulations through electronic health records, of which the American people will be the first country to implement and work toward the development of the global public health capabilities.
That's right. So don't look at, what we're seeing today, and the reason I made a big thing about this coming into the program is not for any personal reason, but urging everyone to look at the bigger picture. Because if you can see the symptoms and signs and little tells within the local system, within the system that you're a part of, if you can, when you walk into your doctor's office and you see the form that requires you to fill out, some more questions, even about gun ownership. And then you look at the controlling of the medications. And then you look at other things that are being pushed into a system now that 10 years ago you did not necessarily see. All of this post-dates the implementation of Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act. And then on now, because today, tomorrow is tax day, actually the 18th, but traditionally April 15th is tax day. Take a look at your tax form. On your tax form now, you will be paying the penalty, or the mechanism for non-compliance to the Affordable Care Act now comes into play, and IRS.
It's a tax.
It's whatever it is, tax penalty or whatever. It is a penalty.
At the Hear the Watchman conference, I forget the speaker who said it, but made a great distinction that if it were really about health, the FDA would be in control of the accountability for the Obamacare, not the IRS.
Well, it's the IRS right now who has the teeth to make sure you're compliant. And I'm seeing this because,
and not to jump in and interrupt,
go ahead.
But IRS chief, I don't know if he saw this today. Agency encourages illegal immigrants to steal Social Security numbers to file tax returns.
Well.
The head of the IRS said the agency wants illegal immigrants to pay the taxes they're obligated to pay, even if they are using fraudulent Social Security numbers. But it's probably worse than many think. It goes on to say, I wonder how much the amnesty bosses or bonuses of up to $24,000 tax credit factors in here. Back in February, the Weekly Standard reported the significance of this change. Is noted that having a Social Security number will allow individuals to get federal benefits that were previously unavailable. In particular, it could allow millions of people who have received the tax benefit, known as the Earned Income Tax Credit. Under the law, families with low to moderate incomes can get this EITC cash payment as high as $6,143, only if they have a Social Security number. For some people, the amount could go even higher. But this program is only for people who are eligible. And in order to be eligible, you have to be a citizen. If you're a citizen, you're given a Social Security number. If you're an illegal immigrant, you don't have a Social Security number. So steal one so you can receive your fraudulent payment.
Right.
What
gets me is back in the day, you were a drug dealer. Let's say if you're running a prostitution business or a drug deal, you know, an illicit drug business. What you were urged to do was get yourself contact the IRS, and they would give you this for anonymity purposes. A Social Security number. So you are in compliance with the tax laws, and you would report your illicit income under a fake social and ultimately a fake social and a fake name. And so as long as you paid your taxes, it doesn't matter if you were, you know, human trafficking was your primary source of income. As long as you reported that income and paid taxes on it, the IRS was not going to come after you. What a twisted world
yeah.
we live in.
And you can make any illegal activity appear as though it is a legitimate profiteering business through means of incorporation and other legal.
You have to, though. I mean, you've got to pay taxes on that money.
There were drug dealers. There was one guy from New York in the 80s who did the same thing, used the money to buy businesses like a car dealership, and he created a payroll system what you'd even call it, but very clever, using the system to make your drug dealing business, which is illegal, appear to be legal. He's serving a life sentence now for murder, but the drug dealers become more creative. The criminals become more creative. This is the reason for the push towards cashless society and the consolidation of information and tracking of everything we do, because the money is going to have to all be accounted for. Every action you take will have to have a receipt it'll be
tracked. It'll be done electronically because paper money, and we're seeing this already, all paper money will be made illegal. You're not going to be able to take $20 down to the gas station, get yourself gas or whatever.
It's a matter of complete control of money and your availability to money. Because if you have cash, you know, you could potentially be making money on the side then and not reporting it, or buying things outside of what the government wants you to or will allow you to. And they can't have that.
That's right.
The cashless society is not about anything that will improve the economy or jobs or a person's or civilization's bottom line. At the end of the day, it is only something that will hurt them.
And many people don't think that this is real. And Steve Quayle and I talked one day, and we had a great conversation just about, you know, how many people who talk about these issues believe in their heart that it's real. Now, it's one thing to talk about things like this, but it's another thing to believe.
Yep. I tell my wife all the time, and I think I've said this before, prepare to live in the woods, because she'll complain about things like not having lotion or chapstick. And I tell her, I say, you know, you got to understand and get yourself mentally ready.
Yeah.
I said, there's going to come a day where you're not going to have any of the creature comforts we have, from a house to electricity to plumbing to water.
Get yourself a bucket.
And you're complaining about chapstick and lotion.
Yeah.
What happens when we have no food and we're living, you know, in the woods on the run? We will see that in our lifetime.
I you probably will. I don't know if I will, but I'm sure that anyone younger than 40.
If you
40.
Plan on living for the next 5 years, you will be too.
Timing is a funny thing. I do believe that prayer and intercession and exposing. People often ask us, well, why do you do this? Why do you talk about this, basically a lot of the same stuff over and over again? Because we're picking up new listeners and we're reinforcing the information that we're talking about before. So but timing of what we're talking about, I don't know if it's going to be next month, next year, or 10 years from now, but it's coming. It's coming to that point. So maybe you're more right than incorrect. Right than wrong. Dave Hodges is going to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, on the books, by the beginning of 2018, you will know. You will see it being incorporated.
But that's been pushed back.
It has been pushed back from 2013.
2016. Right. Yeah.
And, but at the same time now, we're seeing such an increase in the technological areas of the healthcare work, where from trackable ink for tattoos to actual rice size chips that can be implanted.
Yep.
We are seeing people who have already implanted themselves with chips for different reasons, from unlocking their front door to starting their car to personal identification. We're seeing digital commerce increase to the point it is, I don't know, how much is digital commerce a part of our economy, as much as, you know, going out to a store and physically buying something versus e-commerce?
I'm seeing more and more deliveries from Amazon.
Drones are now delivering for Amazon.
I haven't seen that, but
you can get food from Amazon. I mean, yeah, you can basically, with a checking account that has money in it and a computer, live in a room and have every and anything you need delivered to you.
It's amazing. Just the advances, and think back to two. I mean, if you want a bookmark in time, think back before 9/11. Think how you did your shopping, and think for most adults, and think about how your day progressed. Were you on the internet? How long were you on the internet? Were you on, you know, Twitter? You didn't have Twitter or Facebook, or if you did, it wasn't certainly.
I spent the same amount of time on the internet before 9/11. It was just because it took the dial up that long to connect.
Yeah, remember that, you know.
Yep. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, yeah, today people have been, a third arm, an extension of our body, this technology.
And there's so many people that, I mean, before 9/11, people were addicted to, and I believe they still are, addicted to video games.
Entertainment,
but, yeah. But to circle this back and just to kind of encapsulate this hour, I certainly believe what we're seeing today, folks, and Joe and I think we're in agreement on this. Number one, we're seeing through the use of medicine, through the use of medical policies and practices, and through the use of the healthcare system, the insurance, and the enforcement by the IRS and the enforcement by the financial sectors of our government. We are seeing now this push toward complete and utter control, where the infirmed and impaired are going to be really victimized by, and even the veterans are being victimized by the medical system. And it's all about control and controlling a big segment of our society.
And Dave Hodges is going to talk about the Federal Reserve. There's some interesting things going on with the Federal Reserve. They're meeting with Barack Obama, and
I think they did meet.
Yes, okay. They've made the statement to me today that said, you know, the president doesn't tell the Federal Reserve what to do. The Federal Reserve tells the president what they're going to do. And he asked if the meeting with with Barack Obama was indication of a change in monetary policy, or letting him know of something good or bad that's coming. But Greenspan said CNBC today. Greenspan was given an interview. He said monetary policy has done everything it can. Former Fed chairman Greenspan Thursday said monetary policy has reached the outward bounds of its effectiveness without another round of quantitative easing.
So what does that mean? Translate that for me. Doug language.
Monetary policy, or the laws of how they issue money,
right,
has done everything they can, unless you want to put additional cash in the circulation. They're not helping that much in the sense that ultimately determines whether or not you're getting an effect from the QEs beyond increasing price-to-earnings ratio in the stock market, he said during the interview. There's no real evidence that we're getting an impact on lending, and the economy is not picking up, he said. Greenspan said he disagreed with the IMF's managing director, Christine Lagarde, on negative interest rates that would create a net positive impact. Lagarde offered the assessment earlier on Squawk on the Street, which is apparently a program here. He goes on to say negative interest rates hurts financial institutions. And he said that I blame it on the policies that got us to where we are. On the he blames negative interest rates on the policies that they used to get where they are today. But see, those policies were policies he implemented himself. And it goes on from there. But we'll talk about this more with Dave Hodges.
Sure.
There was Janet Yellen met with the
a lot of things going on in the background.
Renegade.
Thank you.
Chief.
Thank you for that. Yes.
But yeah, we're looking at some things. The European economy is on the brink of disaster. Germany looking real shaky. And there might be some changes at the Fed. That's definitely changes with IMF policy coming down the pipe. We'll see soon as the TPP is going to be gaining more and more effect and momentum. We'll be right back with Dave Hodges right after this.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.